Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
Come his wife in. How we doing on this Monday morning? Back at it. Let's go. Get up. Let's start the week. You wanted warm weather. You're going to get enough of this cold weather and the rain. Well, you're going to get some warm weather this week. It's going to be nice and hot for you. Let's go. Get up. We got another hour into the warm-up show. 888-808-1019. 407 here on The Fan on this Monday morning. Talking a lot about the Knicks coaching search. Talking a lot about the two baseball teams. Obviously, last night, the NBA Finals. Congratulations to the Oklahoma City Thunder for their first championship in franchise history. A game that is marred with the injury to Halliburton, the Achilles tear, and we all know what it is. They haven't announced it yet, but we've seen it enough. We know exactly what it is. As he tore his Achilles with the score was 16-16 in the first quarter. The Pacers actually did a really good job trying to hang in there. They took a one-point lead, I believe, at the half. And then ultimately the third quarter was what we all expected. The rest of the game was what we all expected. Without Halliburton in that building, Oklahoma City won the game. And now, for me, as we look at the New York Knicks, and not to celebrate the Halliburton injury, of course, it's devastating. I feel terrible for him. I felt terrible for fans of the Indiana Pacers. I felt terrible for fans of basketball who wanted to watch these two teams have a legitimate competition in a game seven, the best two words in sports, to decide who was going to be the NBA champion. And instead, they got a compromised Indiana Pacers team down the stretch. And yes, for all of those of you who hate the Knicks and would try and consider this some sort of being akin to losing Tatum in the final minutes of a game five, no, it's not the same. This was a game seven in the first quarter, tied at 16 in a winner-take-all game seven. That is a compromised team for the Indiana Pacers the rest of the way. And now it's a compromised Pacers team for all of next year. And I got to tell you, as that opens up, and not again, not to celebrate the injury, but it's just a matter of fact, they will be without Halliburton. The Boston Celtics will be without Jason Tatum. The Milwaukee Bucks will be without Dame Lillard. All that is, standing from teams that we expect to be as good or better than the Knicks, which, listen, seasons change and we know what we go through. Who knows? The Detroit Pistons with Cunningham could end up, they've been building something there. They might take a real big next step and be one of the best teams in the East next year. Orlando's improved itself. Clearly has an opportunity to be a good team. They had a good season this year. But all that stands left right now, and not to say that the Boston Celtics can't be good or that, the Indiana Pacers can't be good, but it is as wide open as it's ever been out East. I mean, all the Cavs are the only team still intact like the Knicks, and they have had more problems than the Knicks have had in the postseason and more questions to answer about their group and how they perform in the biggest of games and how tough they are. And the Knicks have had their way with the Cavs in the postseason. This is now as good an opportunity the Knicks have had to win an NBA championship in a long time. And instead of heading into it building off of what was a great season last year, the second consecutive 50-win season, and the first time they went to the NBA, the Eastern Conference Finals, in a quarter century, instead of building on that the second year of this roster with a head coach that's proven here, a head coach that turned this team around, a head coach that got them to that Eastern Conference Finals, a head coach that beat the defending champion Boston Celtics. Instead, we head into this period where their window is as wide open as ever to get to and win an NBA championship. They head in with uncertainty at the head coaching position amid a search that hasn't made much sense to me against candidates who I don't feel impressed by. And now we are looking at the idea that they better get this freaking coach right, because right now they have better win an NBA championship or it's a failure. They better get to an NBA finals or it's a disaster. They're already third favorite to win the NBA finals this year. There is no excuse. And you're going to hire this coach with adding, you know, he's got to win an NBA championship. He's got to figure out a way to make Brunson and Cat work. He's got to come in and take over for a coach who took them to the first Eastern Conference Finals in 25 years with a superstar who loved them, with a superstar's father who's an assistant coach on the bench who loved them, with players and an owner who you know, have a relationship where they can get the coach fired, the meddling owner, and never mind just the complexities and difficulties of coaching a team in this market. All of that falls at the feet of possibly a first-time head coach or a head coach with some coaching experience, but he's got to be better than Tibbs. He's got to win an. He's got to get to an NBA championship. He's got to deal with all this crap. He's got to deal with his superstar's father on the bench. He's got a million things to deal with, and this is how we're going into a best opportunity they've had in forever to win a championship. Not what you want. I'd rather have the stability of a coach I know is going to take them to a certain level. I know it. And we act like we know we can take them no further. We don't know that. What we do know is how good they are with him. And now they better get this coaching hire right, because if they take a step back, it is going to be a gut punch, because it may never be as easy a path as next year will be. And who knows how long this window is? This is a critical year for the Knicks. Critical. And who they decide to lead them as head coach is a enormous decision. And they better get it right. 888-808-1019. And we talked a lot of baseball, obviously, as the Mets last night on Sunday Night Baseball do nothing offensively, get shut down by a pitcher who had given who had given up 25 earned runs in his previous four starts. Some guy's getting on me on Twitter that I've said he's been bad all year. Okay, he hasn't been bad all year. I think he's underachieved, and he's been particularly awful in his last couple of go-rounds. 25 earned runs in his last four starts prior to last night. They're shut down. Peterson is bound to have a stinker of a game. He gives up five runs in the fourth. And the New York Mets and this struggling offense and this struggling pitching staff and this struggling pitching lab have now lost 8 of 9, are a game behind the Phillies as they welcome in the Atlanta Braves, their nemesis who they can't seem to figure out a way to beat, into Citi Field to start a three-game set. Tonight, the New York Yankees win a series much needed. They needed a comeback victory. They got that. They needed a series win. They got that. They needed a series win inside this lousy division, and they got that, as they've been terrible inside the American League East. They still don't do enough offensively, only scoring four runs. They had opportunities second and third, nobody out. They can't get a run in. They made a bad boneheaded base running decision with Judge not tagging up. They are by no means perfect, but they have pitched well. And the offense over the last two games has done enough. And Jazz Chisholm, what can you say about this guy? The big two-run double in the eighth to give them the lead. He scores on a base hit earlier in the game with a play at the plate. Like, he's just done everything you could possibly ask of this dude. He has killed it since coming back. He's got almost 1,000 OPS since returning from injury. And with Judge still struggling, as he did in this game, and you could tell he's still off, missing pitches down the middle, missing splitters that are hanging in the top of the zone. He is still not found it. He is still not himself. He is still struggling right now. And the New York Yankees are begging for someone to step up, as this offense has really struggled over the last 9 or 10 games. And Jazz Chisholm has been the man. And he has been everything they could have possibly asked for. He's brought a lot to the table. He plays a good third base, not a great third base. He can steal bases. That's been hampered by a little bit of a groin problem. But right now at the plate, this 70% swing or whatever he's doing is absolutely killing it. And he helped them win a game where they didn't play particularly well and squandered multiple opportunities. But he came through in the eighth. They get to come from behind victory. Williams, who has been much, much better over the last month, maybe even more than that, comes in and gets the save, and the Yankees salvage the last game of a 70-game homestand, only going 3-4, not good enough, still making mistakes, still not capitalizing on all their opportunities, and they head to Cincinnati and trying to get even better offensively as they go to that ballpark. And the manager, who had a good day yesterday, believe it or not, all you Boone haters, we could go through all of the different decisions he made in this game that were quality decisions that helped him win, but you could just take my word for it. Aaron Boone had a good game, including giving Jazz Chisholm the green light on 3-0 on that big double, and he heads back home where he's very familiar in Cincinnati, and hopefully the Yankees on to Cincinnati can get another series win as the Mets will welcome in the Atlanta Braves. 888-808-1019, so that's on the table. As we got you for the last 45 minutes or so of our five-hour midnight ride, let's get to Ross in Sarasota, Florida. What's up, Ross?
Hey, how you doing, Chris?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. Just a little bit late on this. You were looking to talk to a doctor about the calf injury.
Oh, sure.
And that the limo driver called in.
Yes. So, yeah, let me just ask you that specific question. Does any single calf strain mean that no matter how you handle it moving forward, that strain already has weakened the Achilles heel to a level where it's only a matter of time?
All right. So when you say any, so I have to say no. But I just need you to understand what is a calf strain? It's basically microscopic tears.
Correct.
In the muscle.
Yes.
Okay. So you need an MRI to diagnose that. Now, will that definitely lead to a torn Achilles in the average person who's walking around just doing his regular job like me and you? No. But when you're dealing with people who are putting on thousands of pounds of torque on their legs, mm-hmm. when they're running and jumping, it's a whole nother ballgame.
Sure.
So, you know, to me, it doesn't make any sense that these guys don't get an MRI of the Achilles. That's what I would do.
If someone has a calf strain, it's been diagnosed, you would take a look at the Achilles as well.
It takes 20 minutes. All you got to do is see if it's swollen. If it's swollen, I wouldn't let the guy play. But I think a lot of these guys, because they are superstars, they have tremendous egos, and they really, really want to play in the finals. And I don't want to sit out. I'm not, you know, if that was me, I wouldn't sit out, you know.
Yeah, no, it's the NBA finals. There's no doubt. I mean, if this were November, so he would have sat out.
Even if the doc said, no, man, you can't play, you're going to tear this, I'm pretty sure the guy would just go ahead. But then you're dealing with liability issues.
No, I got you. But my question is, so then obviously he was dealing with the strain. He was playing through the strain. I'm saying
he probably had microscopic tears already in the tendon.
Yeah. Oh, in the Achilles. Yeah. And to speak to you, that I don't know for a fact that they don't. Like, I don't know that they don't look at the Achilles.
Well, don't they have to report it?
If there's no injury to the Achilles,
report it as an injury, right?
I don't think
that's the NFL or
no. Yeah, you know. The NFL has to do that. They put them on the injury report, and you have to designate the injury report. No, I don't think the NBA is obligated to tell you everything that's going on.
Yeah,
the time
I'm not sure. I'm not
no.
big on the
yeah.
NBA, but yeah, yeah
no,
I'm more of an NFL guy.
Yeah, I don't think they have to. But my question is: so you're saying that if you have a significant calf strain or one that would cost you time,
right,
well, you're out.
It's grade 1, 2, and 3.
Right.
Sure.
Right. So say you have a grade, let's just go in the middle. Say you have a grade 2 calf strain. If you give it complete time to heal, like you give it 6 weeks, right? You let it heal. You don't do anything until you're pain-free in that calf. You get all the MRIs. The tears have healed. The calf is back perfect. You're not feeling any pain. Are you significantly more likely to tear your Achilles than someone who had not had a calf strain recently?
No one can tell you that.
Okay.
I wouldn't be looking at the calf as much as I'd be looking at the tendon.
Sure.
And that guy is right. The limo driver was right. Mm-hmm. It's like your fan belt, right? The day the fan belt pops isn't the day it got messed up.
Right.
It was over the 50,000 miles that you were driving, it starts to get worn out.
Right.
And it's the same thing with an older NFL quarterback, Aaron Rodgers.
I know, but my point, and I'm sorry to interrupt you, Doc. I understand what you're saying.
My point is,
you know, I'm not saying that obviously Halliburton's played a lot of basketball, but he's a young man.
Yeah.
This is not the end of his career. So, some of these injuries happen to older guys. Tatum, I don't believe, had a calf strain, at least I was unaware of, and then he had the injury. But, like, with these younger players who don't have necessarily, I understand that every athlete eventually is going to have wear and tear and is going to be more susceptible to these injuries. Pitchers more susceptible, even the more you throw, the more the tendon gets worked out, all of it. But I'm specifically asking the correlation between the calf strain and the Achilles. If you allow the calf strain to heal, there would be no extra on top of just normal wear and tear. What I'm saying is the calf strain doesn't necessarily mean that the Achilles is now damaged, and moving forward, no matter how much time you give the calf strain, that you are in a different area than other players who haven't had calf strains.
Sure, and that makes 100% sense. The one point I really want to make clear is that there are two issues, right? The calf is connected to the heel through this long tendon, which is the Achilles tendon. Now, that tendon has very little blood supply. So if it gets hurt, if it gets swollen, if it even has microscopic tears, it doesn't heal.
Okay.
That thing has little to no blood supply. So if you look at it on an MRI, it's completely white, right?
Mm-hmm.
When there's blood, the MRI shows dark.
Right.
Okay. So when you look at the muscle, it's connected to this tendon. But if you're seeing fluid in the tendon, you already know it's weak. So you're trying to associate the calf strain with Achilles tendonitis, Achilles strain, Achilles tear, right?
Yes.
But they're not one and the same. One doesn't have to lead to the other. The tendon could be perfectly fine, and the calf could be messed up. So one's not going to cause the other.
Okay. So all right. Thank you very much, Doc. So I guess the answer is no. That it's not to, I mean, that just because you have a calf strain, it doesn't mean you are destined to have an Achilles injury. And I clearly while you're going through it, while your calf is compromised, I would guess that you are compromised with the Achilles because they're connected. But if you give it time and allow it to heal, I don't think once you have a calf strain, that is now the be-all, end-all, and it's just a matter of time before you have an Achilles injury. You have to be super careful about it. But anyway, the point is, if you have an Achilles, if you have a calf injury, you don't mess around with it anymore. Like, there's just no doubt. Unless it's the NBA Finals, Game 7, I get it. I would do the same. I think everyone would do the same. I'll risk it for Game 7 of the NBA. There's a good chance I will never get this chance again. Like, that I get. But, like, I don't know, a big game, even like early on in the playoff series, like if it's the first round of the playoffs, you might just say, hey, you know, I can't go for the first round. You guys got to be, you got to figure it out. But Game 7 of the NBA Finals, that I have no doubt. Game 6, Game 7 of the NBA Finals, you got to push through. You got to take your chance. He might have gotten through unscathed. He didn't. It's devastating. But, like, normal guys from now on, I'm not messing with calves at all. You want to come back early? Like Jazz Chisholm and Weaver for the Yankees have come back early from injuries. Jazz had a longer time frame for an oblique injury, came back. We were hearing 4 to 6 weeks for Weaver with a hamstring injury. He was back in 2.5 weeks. If those are calf muscle injuries, I'm not messing around. You're not coming back early. 4 to 6 weeks, it's going to be 6, 6.5 weeks, 7 weeks. I'm not messing around. These calf muscles are no joke. They're leading to season-ending, devastating injuries. I just don't know if once you have it, you're screwed. Like, I think that's a bit much. And that's, you know, limo driver Ed, I appreciate it. I just don't know if we're there just yet. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan, taking your calls on the baseball, taking your calls on the Knicks head coaching search, off of the idea that now, without Halliburton, without Tatum, without Dame Lillard, who knows if Giannis even stays with the Bucks. The New York Knicks are already the third favorite as this season just ended, the third favorite to make it to the NBA Finals next year. They have an opportunity like the likes of which they haven't seen in damn near three decades. And they're going into it with hoping they hire the right.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The coach.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right, 4:31. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Talking a lot about the NBA Finals, obviously with the injury to Haliburton and how it impacts the Knicks season coming up next year. Also, we're seeing, you know, congratulations to Oklahoma City, and SGA did something that apparently has never been done before in the history of basketball. He won the regular season MVP, the conference finals MVP, and the finals MVP. That's never happened before. Jordan never did that? That's amazing to me. He won all those MVPs, all the finals MVPs. He didn't back it up with conference finals MVPs. I wonder if they had it for Jordan. I wonder, maybe they didn't. I wonder when they started conference finals MVPs.
I'm trying to look that up because LeBron and Jordan both have multiple years of winning the regular season and finals MVP.
Yeah.
There's a couple other guys on the list, but they're the only ones who have done it. LeBron did it twice. Mm-hmm. Jordan did it four times.
Four times. So in those four times, he never in any of those four Eastern Conference
Actually,
finals?
Actually, Larry Bird did it twice, too. The other was all did it once.
Yeah.
First was Willis Reed.
Larry Bird. Well, first was Willis Reed. Okay. Larry Bird, I could see, had a great team. Like, you know, I could see, and not that the Bulls weren't great, I didn't mean to say, but Jordan was such the dominant force. I mean, he had, you know, Larry Bird had, you know, Parrish had, McHale had, you know, had a lot of great players on it. He kind of had Pippen that you could see winning. I mean, really, him or Pippen are the only guys you could see winning the conference finals MVP.
Conference finals award starting in 2022.
Oh, there you go. 2022. Oh, man. You're giving me stats. Yeah, 2022. Not that big a deal then.
Well, he's still the first guy in 25 years to win both MVPs, regular season NBA Finals, and the scoring title.
And the scoring title. It was him and LeBron? Is that what you said? No one's done it since LeBron?
LeBron was the last double MVP.
Okay. I knew it didn't sound right. I read the stat. Me and you were just talking about it.
It is right. It's just...
Yeah,
it's,
I know, but it didn't sound like it.
It should have an asterisk.
Yeah. I was like, there's no way Jordan didn't do it. But the first time ever. First time ever.
I saw Rob Perez. We trust him. We know he's good. And what he put out there is not wrong.
No, it's not wrong. It's all right. I'm just saying. I'm surprised they didn't count conference finals MVPs. They just started that? It's weird. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls. Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
Chris, really? Hang up on that doctor, man. You play sports.
I can't. You got to get off the. You got to get. Like, okay. I can't. All right. We're going to put you on hold again. One, you're gonna lecture me on how to handle a sports radio show, and you're calling on the speakerphone. You sound like you're a million miles away, Brett. So first off, fix your phone, and we'll give you another opportunity. And maybe let's just try something new. Why don't you just call about your point? Let's see what your point is. Oh, Fleegs took him off. We're going to go to Anthony and Yonkers. We're going to check his line. I have not hung up on you, Brett. You sounded awful.
Hello?
Anthony and Yonkers. What's up, Anthony?
Yeah, what's up, Chris?
What's up, buddy?
Listen, man. I know you have a show that you're doing. You have to be politically correct and all of that. But listen, I don't give a damn about Tyrese Haliburton's injury, okay?
Well,
it is what it is. Things happen in sports.
Of course.
Okay? I don't care.
I didn't.
Okay, everybody's got to be. You hate to see it.
You do hate to see it. You like to see it?
I don't like to see it, bro. Well, I'm saying I don't care. It's part of the game.
Knicks next year, that he's not going to be there. But like watching the game, you weren't devastated for him?
No, I don't care.
Come on.
I don't care. Listen, what do you mean? Come on. Why do we always have to fit? I'm not wishing for the man to get hurt, but I don't
that,
care.
But it may,
it's part of the game.
Of course it's part of the game. I'm not saying anything else. I'm saying I feel bad for him.
And
it's game seven. I want to watch a good game. I wanted to see these two teams go at it.
Okay, but that's life. That's life, bro.
Well,
things happen. I'm not going to be broken up that he got hurt. I don't care.
But you're saying two things that don't make sense. That's life happens all the time. You're right. I'm not saying nobody screwed him. Nobody did him wrong. That's life. But things happen in life all the time that suck, and I feel bad for the people that it happened to.
But the man is not dead. I don't care.
He's got
to be.
It sucks for him. He's going to miss the whole year. It's a devastating injury. You know what you have to go through to get...
Okay, but that's on him. That he's got to deal with it. I don't care. We're moving on.
I get it.
The whole show
has been about how the Knicks should get ready for next season.
Let me say this. He had a choke sign around his neck with both hands. Now he can take those both hands and hold his Achilles.
I'm a bitter Knicks fan. I don't care about Tyrese
Halliburton. I don't care about Tyrese Halliburton. I'm rooting for the Knicks in 2026.
I get
it. The East is wide open. That's what I care about. The East is wide open. If the basketball gods put injuries on people, that has nothing to do with me. I have no sympathy.
I have no sympathy for nobody. I hear you, but you got to be careful with those basketball gods. You're out there, you know, mocking someone else's injury. Could have just as easily, and knock on wood, last thing we want, and don't let Boomer say this. Because he has a habit of talking these things into existence.
Calf strain, boom, Achilles.
Yeah, please. But it could have easily happened to Jalen Brunson. Like, of course he's not dead, right? I get it. He's going to come back. He's still going to have a career. He's had a great year. It sucks. He's going to miss a season of his career. These years are precious, man. I don't feel no sympathy for someone because they make a lot of money or live a life we all wish we could live. I get that. I still feel bad for the dude. This sucks. He's got a full year. I felt terrible for him collapsing to the floor. That's not politically correct. That's just how I honestly felt. I mean, I'm willing to have the conversation about how it impacts the Knicks. I've been doing it all morning. I'm not sitting here going, oh, man, the Knicks shouldn't even care about next year. It's not, I mean, what's the difference? I mean, Halliburton's not going to be there. Maybe the whole league should cancel the season. Like, of course, that's not what I'm, you got to move on, of course. They had to move on inside the game. But that doesn't change the fact that I feel bad for the guy. And part of me, even though I'm rooting against him in this series, and I wished he had a miserable game because I wanted him to lose, there's also a part of me that wanted to see an NBA Finals game go. And see the two teams play at the best of their ability, and they lost their best player. It kind of hampered the game, and it ended up becoming a blowout in the second half. But nobody roots for this. Come on. And I'm not that bitter about a choke sign. I don't care. And I know we've seen now all the sad Reggie Miller stuff, all the sad Reggie Miller photos everywhere. That's fine. You want to mock Reggie Miller and take sad pictures of him, you know, out in the stands wearing his Pacers uniform that you know was underneath his suit during the broadcast with the Knicks. Like, that's fine. But no, I'm sorry. I don't care that Halliburton didn't warrant an Achilles injury because he gave the choke sign. I feel terrible for him, but that doesn't change the fact that you're 100% right. That's life, and that's basketball, and that's professional sports. And now it's given the Knicks an opportunity where the Pacers are going to be less dangerous than they could have been if Halliburton were healthy next year. So the East is wide open. You've got the Celtics in the same position with Tatum. You've got the Bucks in the same position with Lillard. And the Knicks need to make sure they get this coaching hire right. Because this is a very important year with an opportunity to do something. So I totally agree with that. But you expect me to just like be happy that Halliburton got hurt? That I'm not going to do. And it's not because I'm being politically correct. It's because that's how I feel. You don't want to see people get hurt. We'll try Brett in Long Island one more time. Brett, how's your phone this time?
Good. Sorry about that.
Much
this
better.
Is more proof that I'm right and you're wrong.
Sure.
And that you're a fake Giants fan and a fake Knicks fan.
Okay.
And I'll prove it right now.
Prove it right now.
Because you did say before, and don't change the narrative, you did say before,
mm-hmm.
I was upset to see, I felt bad for Halliburton and I felt bad for the Pacers, right? Okay, same thing like the Giants.
I said
you're
Pacers
happy
fans.
The Eagles.
Pacers fans.
Yeah, even that, I don't care anything. My point is, I listen to you, and I've dissected everything. And you would never say anything about Manny, right? Pedro, who else was on that team?
You think I would root? You think I would root for Manny Ramirez to be
you
hurt?
You never say anything.
Manny Ramirez never got hurt. What are you talking about?
About the Red Sox, I listen for it. Anything against the Yankees, never. But against the Knicks, you don't care.
What are you talking about?
Pacers just beat us. The guy did a choke sign at our
building.
And so
I want him hurt with the. I wanted him to lose. I wanted him to be bad in the game. I wanted him to get his ass kicked. I didn't want him to get hurt.
I didn't feel bad when all the Knicks were hurt last year. We were missing the whole team. The Pacers were laughing.
And if a Pacers fan was saying, and if a Pacers fan was laughing about it, I would have told him he's a jerk. Like, what are you talking about?
There's animosity toward that franchise.
There's animosity, and then there's being a bad person. I'm not gonna root for injuries or be gleeful.
Root for it. You're changing it there. I'm not rooting for it.
So you're happy when it happens?
It happened. I'm not gonna sit here, oh, I'm so sorry. It happened, it's over. I'm not gonna say, oh, I feel bad for the Pacer fan.
I do.
Would you say, oh, I feel bad?
I feel bad for the Pacer fan in that moment watching the game. Yeah, I do. What do I care about Pacer fans? They never done anything to me. I feel bad. I can put myself in their shoes. That's what it's all about. Don't you understand that, Brett? Don't you understand? It's about putting myself in people's shoes. I'm not a Met fan. I'm not a Jet fan. I'm not a Net fan. I'm not a Met fan. I gotta put myself in the shoes of that fan base so I can talk about them, Brett. That's what I'm saying. For the Pacers fan watching Game 7 of the NBA Finals. I do feel it.
You have the passion for the Knicks.
I have the passion for the. I've been talking about the Knicks nonstop. I opened today. The Yankees won a game. The Mets are floundering. I opened the damn show with the Knicks today. I don't care about the Knicks because I'm not dancing all over the grave of the Indiana Pacer fan and Tyrese Halliburton collapsing to the ground with an Achilles injury. So I don't care about the Knicks. Like, if Manny Ramirez fell to the ground with a torn ACL, I would have stood there and laughed at him. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I don't root for injuries. And I'm not happy they happen. Certainly, I mean, like, you know, I'm not apologizing for everything. Like, if this happened during the Knicks series and the Knicks won, the same thing happened with Tatum. And what did I say? I said they were beating them without Tatum anyway. With Tatum anyway. This series isn't tainted at all. I don't want to hear that crap. Tatum went down. That's part of basketball. The Knicks won the series. That's what you say. You don't say, aha, Tatum, good for you, and good for all the Boston Celtic fans, you bunch of losers. Ha, ha, ha. Maybe that's what you and your 11 social media groups do. I don't do that. I'm not happy Halliburton got hurt. And I've been talking about how it changes the Knicks season or opens up the East. I've been talking about how the injury impacts the Knicks. It's not like I've been saying, oh, it's such a bad injury, I can't discuss what the Knicks would do next year because of it. I'm talking about it. What do you want me to? But I'm also saying at the same time, I feel terrible for his injury. You don't feel bad for him? Then I don't know how you could not, Brett. In fact, it answers a lot of questions, to be totally honest with you. The lack of empathy actually does answer a lot of questions. I mean, what are we talking about? I'm having the discussion of moving on from the injury. I'm not saying, well, I don't even want to talk about the Knicks because Halliburton's injury is so bad. I don't even want to bring it up. It's not right. It's not the time or the place. I'm having the conversation about it. Supposed to not care about the guy? And the idea that I would feel different about a Boston Red Sox or a Houston Astro getting hurt, you're crazy. I would not. I'm trying to think if there was any scenarios. I'm trying to think of any series with the Yankees where someone went down. I can't remember. I don't think there was. There was Yankees who went down. Derek Jeter, game one of the ALCS against the Tigers. Roger Clemens walked off the mound with a groin injury in 07. I'm trying to think of other injuries that ended a player playing in the rest of the series. I can't remember any off the top of my head. But I promise you, bloody sock game. I mean, I think it's phony. But if, you know, if Curt Schilling's foot fell off, I wouldn't be like, ha-ha. Good luck with that, peg leg. Like, that's not what would happen. You're being silly, Brett. You're being silly.
We know what we think. What do you think? Call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 451. Mick Monagle here with you on the Fan. Right in Long Island. You know, it's funny. I'm at Fanatics Fest on Saturday, and almost everyone who I had like an in-depth conversation with, more than just, hey, can I take a picture or whatever, say hi, or like people who actually wanted to talk about the show, like, I can't tell you, almost in every case, someone asked me about Brett in Long Island. Almost every conversation I had. How do you deal with that guy? Why do you still take his phone call? Like almost every conversation I had, somehow Brett came up. I can't imagine it's someone from his 11 social media groups all over the place. The guy is something else. Now, I'm not allowed to feel bad for Halliburton, and it proves I'm not a Knick fan. That's the best one. Like, it's one thing just to say, hey, it's life. Why do I feel bad for him? He makes millions of dollars. He'll be back. He's not dead. Everything's okay with him. It is what it is, blah, 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 blah. I think that's a silly take, that you can't feel sorry for someone who's successful. But I can understand it better than that proves you're not a Knick fan. Like, a real Knick fan would be thrilled at this injury. Okay. Okay. All right. Let's get to the calls here. Jeffrey in the Bronx. What's up, Jeff?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hey, what's up, man? I'm calling from the Bronx. My name is Jeffrey. I want to know, what do you think about why they got rid of Tom Thibodeau? I think they should have kept him. I think the Knicks made a big mistake.
Yeah, thank you, Jeffrey. I'm sorry. The phone line was just too noisy to keep you. I've been talking about that a lot, Jeff. I've been talking a lot about how I think the Knicks made a mistake firing Tibbs. And we'll see. Right now, we don't know. I think they have. I wouldn't have done it. And now, more than ever, I'm concerned with the idea of instability and putting the organization in flux and getting an unknown for what arguably is right now. And you could have said it before this injury, and it still would have been a viable statement. I think now, and again, maybe I'm putting too much into it. Maybe I'm getting, you know, I'm putting too much into the idea that the Pacers are down Halliburton, the Celtics are now down Tatum, the Bucks are down Dame Lillard. Maybe I'm putting too much into this injury last night, but this Pacers team has been, more than the Boston Celtics, who they just beat, this Pacers team has been the team they can't beat 2 years running. Can't beat this team. And they just got seriously compromised. This is, in my estimation, the most important Knick season in 25 years. This upcoming season is the most important season of a generation. This is the year. The Eastern Conference is compromised. They are better on pay. They are as good or better than any team in the Eastern Conference. They've already beaten the Celtics. They've beaten, you know, maybe not this exact Cavs team, but they've beaten the Cavs team with pretty much the same core players. They've got the better roster. They've got two stars. If they could learn how to play together, like, they have Brunson. Now is the time to capitalize. This is going to be an enormous Knicks season. And instead of heading into it with a coach who you can count on, a coach who turned this team into the position to have the biggest, most critical, important season in the last 25 years. He's the reason that we can say that. And instead of having his, in my mind, reassuring, guiding hand and leadership into this big season, it's completely in flux. And this coaching search has left a lot to be desired. In fact, it's kind of been a joke around the NBA. Fair or unfair, whether this is just what you do, casting this wide net, doing your due diligence, asking for things, well, you can't get them if you don't ask for it. And maybe they come away with Jason Kidd, their initial target, and we feel better about it. I don't know. But right now, I feel like this whole process has been, you know, rudderless and kind of silly. And we got Sham saying we've never seen anything like it. You got Charles Barkley laughing at them at halftime of game one of the NBA Finals. Like, it's just, perception is this has been a, you know, a non-productive, getting doors slammed in their face, getting, you know, expletives yelled at them when asking for other, for asking for teams for their coaches. It just feels like it's been a big folly of a search and a firing. And next year is going to be a huge year. And I would have felt a hell of a lot better about it, even with the flaws of Thibodeau. And I'm not the world's biggest Thibodeau fan. I have issues with his out-of-bounds plays. I've been screaming about it forever. Off of timeouts, they very rarely get what they want. Side out-of-bounds plays feel clunky compared to other teams in the NBA. Obviously, the minute police, I'm part of it on some level. Like, I've had my issues with him. But there's no question about the success he's had. And it was 1 year with this roster, and I think beating the Boston Celtics earned him another one. And now that all of these teams are compromised, including the Indiana Pacers, who they couldn't beat, who very well may have gone on to win the NBA Finals if the injury didn't happen, you know, Halliburton's not going to be there next year. And they have an opportunity to get to the NBA Finals, as good an opportunity as they've had in forever. Since 99, there's no question, this is as good an opportunity to get to the NBA Finals since 99, when they got there. They haven't, since then, since the last time they were there, they have not had a better opportunity than they will this upcoming season. And we're going into it with who exactly is the head coach? Mike Brown? Taylor Jenkins? And I'm supposed to believe that's a major upgrade over the coach that dragged them, kicking and screaming, into the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 25 years? I'm supposed to believe this is an upgrade? I have a real problem with it. And I don't like the instability heading into a big-time season. It scares me. Now, having said that, because I am, despite Brett's accusations, such a big-time Knicks fan, I am willing to say that, hey, all that, they got to get it right. That's not out of the question. They could hire the right coach. It may very well be Mike Brown. I'd be shocked if Mike Brown is hired, and then I'd be even more surprised if he turns out to be the exact right coach at the exact right moment, but maybe. It's not impossible. In Leon Rose We Trust is still something that I'm having more and more difficulty saying, but I still will be willing to say it. And I'm hoping that he understands this team and what they need, and he hires the right coach. And if he does, I think this team can go get to an NBA Finals. But I felt like they had a coach who could have done that. And I felt like they had a coach who earned the right to try it one more time. And they're heading into an enormous season, and they're doing it with a huge question mark as the head coach of the team. And now they have to get it right. They have to get it right. Thank you guys for calling. Thank you for listening. Fleegs on the other side, always appreciate it. We'll talk to you tomorrow, 2 a.m. We'll get, hopefully, a couple of victories. The Mets are in dire need of it. Let's not make no mistake. The Yankees are in dire need of it as well, as they're in Cincinnati, right here on The Fan. And, of course, the Mets will welcome in the Atlanta Braves. Both teams dealing with pitching injuries. They sent down Alvarez, Ryan Yarbrough on the IL. So a lot going on with our baseball teams. We'll break it all down at 2 a.m. tomorrow, as well as maybe some Knick talk. We'll start getting into football. Big week ahead. Everybody enjoy the rest of your day. The warm-up show is next. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN, New York.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.